Good evening. Thank you, Will, for the welcome. Thank you for reading that for us. Can we pray together briefly again, just with the passage open before us? Father, we do thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many things that we want to praise you for. We count our blessings, we name them one by one, we're surprised at what the Lord has done. But Lord, the supreme blessing is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And Lord, we come to you tonight and we ask that you would help us to focus on who Christ is, what Christ has done for us. And even as we think about Rahab, this Old Testament character, that she would point us to him and that would thrill our souls. We need thrilling because there's so much, as we watch the news, so much that would terrify us. Lord, we need to be thrilled again by solid things, gospel things. And we pray to this end, please. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Will read to us from Joshua 2. Can you come with me now, please, to Hebrews 11? Keep the ribbon of your Bible, maybe, in Joshua 2, because we're going to go back there. But I want to read a verse from Hebrews 11. I want to begin by giving you some statistics. Can I do that? Are you ready for this? In Matthew's Gospel, there are over 1,000 verses. In Mark's Gospel, the shortest Gospel, almost 700. Luke, the longest Gospel, 1,151 verses. The Gospel according to John, nearly 800. The Gospel according to Rahab, just one verse. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. The Gospel according to Rahab, one verse. And that's what we want to think about this evening. And I want to give you three words, really, that sum up the Gospel according to Rahab. The first word is grace. And we need to rewind all the way back to Joshua chapter 2. So now, if the ribbon of your Bible is there, come back to Joshua chapter 2. God's servant Moses is gone, and the baton is being passed to Captain Joshua. Along with the people, Joshua is camped by the River Jordan, and they're ready to enter the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. This is a momentous moment for them. But although Joshua is a new leader, he's no novice in leadership. You remember how Moses sent him and Caleb to spy out the land of Canaan. And 40 years later, Joshua decides to do the very same thing. And verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2, he sends more spies. He had a good mentor, hadn't he? And he's learned from Moses. And here he goes, doing the very same thing. And the objective of the mission is simple. Get inside the fortress city of Jericho, assess their military strengths and weaknesses, and gauge the morale of the people. That was their mission. Of course, it was no easy task. because Jericho was a walled city and watchmen were scanning the horizon for any movement. And these spies would be spotted miles away. And what's more, according to chapter 3, the river of Jordan is in full flow. And at its highest level. And so either they can swim across the Jordan and be swept away and drown. That's option one. Or they could travel north to where the River Jordan is narrower and cross there. Now, we're not told in the Bible what option they went for, but I would guess they probably went for option two. Because eventually, the spies cross the Jordan, they slip into the city, they gather the necessary information, and they stay, the second part of verse 1 of Joshua 2, they stay in the house of a prostitute, and that's part of the cover. Always comings and goings in the house of the rising sun. And so in they go, but soon their cover is blown. Someone sees them, someone spots them, and verses 2 and 3, they tell the king. Telltales. And we say, oh no, disaster, even before it begins. No, not really, because God is still God. And he's about to work, he's about to save not only the lives of these two spies, more importantly, he's about to save Rahab. You need to be Scottish to say that name, don't you? Rahab. Okay? You remember in Acts chapter 18, I love this chapter, Paul is about to go into Corinth. Corinth is sin city. And God speaks to him and says, Paul, don't be afraid. That's good, isn't it? Don't be afraid. I am with you. That's even better. And then God says this to Paul. I have many people in this city. Well, it's the same here. God has his people in the city of Jericho. Rahab and her family. Now you say, why this house? Why Rahab? Well, let's give a biblical answer. God loves to save sinners. That's the only answer, isn't it? In fact, Paul says he loves to save the worst of sinners. So here's another question. Why does God save sinners? Are you ready for it? To show off his grace. That's why he saves sinners. That's why he saves the worst of sinners. To show off his grace. And remember, Rahab is a complete pagan. There's another pagan lady in the Bible that we read about. She's a Moabitess. She's a foreigner. Her name was Ruth. You say, okay, a few slip through the net. They are the exceptions. God blinked and they got in. No, God doesn't blink. This has always been his plan. Remember what he said to Abraham? Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham had a son. And from the son came a family. And from the family came a nation. And from the nation came a world's savior. All the nations. Promise in Genesis. Fulfilled in Revelation. Those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This has always been the plan, and that's anticipated, wonderfully so, in the story of Rahab, the pagan, the foreigner, the outsider. God has a heart for the outsider. Aren't you glad about that? You say, so why are we told both in Joshua and in Hebrews, why are we told that she's a prostitute? Is it to demean her, to embarrass her, to humiliate her? No. Here's why. To heighten our appreciation of God's grace. That's why. So here's the first point. The gospel according to Rahab is all about grace. Undeserved love, undeserved favor, God's amazing grace. The gospel is always about grace. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be the gospel. It wouldn't be good news. It would be bad news. The second word I want to give you, the gospel according to Rahab, grace. The gospel according to Rahab, faith. Verse 4 of Joshua chapter 2, all the king's horses and all the king's men are outside. Any spies in here? Any spies? Verse 5, they've left under the cover of darkness. See it? Just follow what the passage is saying. They've left under the cover of darkness. And where they went, I don't know. I haven't a clue, verse 6. And all the while, they're hiding on the roof under the flax. So here's Rahab. She sends them on a wild goose chase, verse 7. You say, she lied. Deary me. No, she didn't lie. She lied three times, not once. Look at verse 4. I don't know where they're from. Lie number 1. Verse 5. I don't know where they've gone. Lie number 2. And again, verse 5. I don't know where they are. She's not lied once. She's lied three times. You say, so was lying acceptable in extreme circumstances? No. Imagine what would have happened if she hadn't lied. How would God have delivered the spies? So here's another scenario. The book of Daniel. How did God deliver Daniel's three friends? Amazingly. Miraculously. That's what God can do. In extreme situations. How did God deliver Daniel from the lions? A miracle. Have you ever wondered what miracle God would perform to protect his servants here? We'll never know. Because she lied. And yet in spite of her lying, we're told she welcomed the spies. And that's what Hebrews 11 focuses in on. It doesn't commend her lying, no. But it tells her that her faith was clearly seen in that she received the spies. That was an act of faith. Because of her lying, because of her lack of faith, we don't see what God would have done. We don't see the miracle. But she certainly received them in faith. And by doing so, obviously she's putting her life on the line. She's putting her neck on the block. She could have chased the spies the moment they came to the door. She could have reported them. She didn't. But by faith, she received them. Now again, you say, hold on a minute. Didn't I read somewhere, maybe Romans 10... Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what kind of faith does she have? She's never heard the word of God. Well, I disagree. Look at verses 8. Joshua 2, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. She heard about God, who he was, what he had done. In fact, she calls God Lord. Oh, that's the covenant God. the covenant promise-keeping God. She knows that he's a saving God. She knows that he's a rescuing God. She knows that he's a delivering God. And maybe, we don't know, but maybe we read between the lines, she's longing that he would save her too, rescue her, deliver her. And again, notice verse 9. She says, the terror of you has fallen on us all, on all the inhabitants. We become faint-hearted because of you. In verse 10, she's heard about the Red Sea deliverance. She's heard. And verse 11, as soon as we heard, our hearts melted. And remember this, would you? Remember the chronology. All of this happened 40 years before. The Red Sea was 40 years before, 4 decades ago. But the story's been told over and over and over again, what happened in the Red Sea, and she's heard the stories. And she believes. Faith comes by hearing words about God. Yeah? What kind of faith does she have? Well, it's birthed in the Word of God. This is real faith, isn't it? And also the fruit of our faith, because faith without works is dead, according to James. She has a working faith. Verses 12 and 13, she wants her family to be saved as well. She has an eye for the spiritual well-being and the physical well-being of others. And she begs the spies. She pleads with them to spare her loved ones. She's a missionary. She wants them to be saved too. And if we fast forward from Joshua chapter 2, we find out what happens. Let me read it to you. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. Here's what happened. Joshua 6, verse 20. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Verse 22. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it, only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab, the prostitute, and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Isn't that amazing? The gospel according to Rahab is about grace. And the gospel according to Rahab is about faith. And the gospel according to Rahab is about Christ. The Bible has lots of genealogies. You say, oh no, not another genealogy. We skip over the genealogies, but they're very important, because in Matthew chapter 1 we find Rahab married someone called Salmon, and they have a son. The son is called Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth, and their great-grandson is David. And from David comes Jesus. Used and abused by wicked and sinful men, but brought in to the royal line of the Savior of wicked and sinful men. Isn't that good? Here's the gospel according to Rahab. Grace, faith, and Christ. So some questions for you as we close. I need to ask you this. Do you know anything about the gospel according to Rahab? Do you? It's absolutely key. God's grace received by faith that brings you to Christ. Rahab's an Old Testament figure, absolutely, but she points us to the New Testament. She points us to Jesus and the salvation that we have in him. Joshua means savior, and he points us to Jesus. Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent of Jesus. Salvation in him, not from the destruction that came on Jericho, but salvation from eternal destruction. The spies say to her, "Our life for your life." Our salvation is based on his life for our life. The substitutionary death of Christ. Resting not in the promises of the spies, our salvation is based, founded, built on the promises, the unbreakable promises of Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, living the life we couldn't live, dying the death we deserve to die, and earning the gift that we could never earn. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel, and I guess that's my main point tonight. By grace, through faith in Christ. The Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. Paul speaks about my gospel, the gospel according to Rahab. There's only one gospel. It's all grace, received by faith. It takes us to Christ. So, do you know anything about the gospel according to Rahab? Next question, what about your family? What about your family? Rahab is desperate to see them saved as well. Can I say to you tonight, the God who saved her and hers can save yours. She pleads with the spies. I encourage you to keep on pleading. Keep on praying. God's still a God of grace. And then the last question is this. Have you lost sight of the great plan that God has brought you into? Here's Rahab. She's part of a saving plan. The saving purpose of God. This huge plan. We've talked about Abraham and the promise to Abraham. We've gone right through to Revelation. We've talked about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Records the life of Christ. And Paul, who preached the gospel of Christ. And how it all links together. It's huge, isn't it? In fact, it's even bigger than that. It's not Genesis to Revelation. It's from eternity to eternity. And sometimes we get bogged down, don't we? We get the blinkers on. I do. Maybe you don't. I think you do, though. Yeah. I'm not minimizing the things that we're facing. But we've got to lift our eyes a little bit and catch a glimpse of God has brought us into something mega here. He's working to a plan. And little you and little me, we've been ushered into it. Isn't that wonderful? Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the gospel. The wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel according to Rahab. Just one verse. You could read through Matthew's Gospel if you want. 1,000 verses. Read through Mark's Gospel. Almost 700 verses. Luke's Gospel. 1,151 verses. John's Gospel. Nearly 800 verses. If you don't have enough time to do that tonight, read one verse. Hebrews 11:31. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the glorious gospel of our glorious Lord. It thrills us, Lord. It really does. We can't stray from this. Lord, we need to get back to the gospel and just camp there. And we thank you for showing your great grace to this lady. Thank you for showing your grace to us. Thank you that you give faith. Faith is a gift from you. And Lord, we thank you that you have granted us repentance and faith. And we thank you for Christ, the object of our faith, the one that Rahab points to. Accept the praise that we bring and the worship that we offer, for we ask this in Jesus' name.